Check. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Serenity Church. My name is Will, as in God's will, and I'm a very grateful overcomer. By the grace of God, God's strength, I have not watched porn in 5 years. And 5 years and 5 days. Well, if you count today already, then 5 years and 5 days. You already know the drill. You're going to need a Bible, bulletin, and pen. Hopefully there's some people passing it around. If not, you got your Bible on you. Pull up to Galatians 5. And if you're missing one of those, just go ahead and raise your hand. Bible, bulletin, and pen. I got notes for you inside the bulletin. So to clarify that scholarship, though, if you give to Serenity Church, they'll be able to give to the school, and the school will match whatever Serenity Church gives. So they can match up to $3,500, which turns into $7,000, if that's the right math. I'm not a math major. Well, at least that's how it works for DBU. So I was supposed to preach last month, as that was the fifth Saturday in November, but I was unable to because I had been tied down with school. And it was like the last 2 weeks of the semester, so it was finals, so I had to cramp down and all that. So I called Shay, and I was like, looking ahead of time, I'm like, I don't think I can do it this time of time. Do the sermon at this time of year. And he's like, okay, we'll switch around and yada, yada, yada. And he's like, by the way, the topic for that month in December is going to be gifts. I'm like, right, I know. But what does that mean? And he goes, whatever you want it to be. I'm like, that doesn't help. So then I started to think and ponder and deeply think as I normally do, and I started to think about the gifts that I got on my birthday. I truly, excluding family and church, I have never felt so loved before, at least in a long, long time. And a lot of it was because I had been in, people have it, wished me happy birthday. Mostly, it was from DBU. There were some gifts involved, but a lot of it was because I have never just felt so much love reciprocated towards me. To the point that I actually cried a couple times, and I remember telling Logan about this. And he's like, "How are you? Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised?" I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "I'm not. Write this down. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow." See, sowing and giving, very similar. And then when you give, it's also, if you think about it, it can be a form of investment. My mom has a maid, and this lady seems awesome. And my mom, if you know my mom, she likes to make afghans and everything. And she had talked about giving the afghan that she was working on to the maid. And I'm like, that's because you invest in what she does for you. And she works hard for you because she invests in the professional relationship that you have with her. So you give the afghan because you're invested in the relationship and you make more investment, and then that investment turns into a more flourishing business relationship. Same thing with my mom. I give my mom a phone call. I'm invested in the relationship I have with her. I give my mom my time, even if it's my time to begin with. But the point is if I give my mom myself, I'm investing in my relationship with my mom. See, when you give someone your presence, someone wisdom, moments of pausing, your words, your consistency, patience, you give initiation, you follow up, you give empathy, you give your amends, you give loyalty, you give encouragement, you give criticism, you give your vulnerability, you're investing into that person. See, I had been doing that at DBU, whether I believed it or not, and I didn't realize it until people had reciprocated back to me, because I had been sowing into not the entire student body, obviously, but sowing into them of what I could. And this idea comes from Galatians 6:9. But the context of what Paul is talking about is so rich. So in Galatians 5 is where we're going to start, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Not only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So Paul is talking about freedom, which is a gift, by the way. Once we were slaves to sin, and then he bought us with a price and gave us freedom. And in turn, we're supposed to give back to one another. In other words, are you doing your 12th step? Let's continue. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing good, these things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, I don't know how to say that word, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Paul's talking about this dichotomy that we constantly live in, the flesh and the spirit. And as we all can quickly observe, that the flesh serves yourself. The flesh serves your desires, your passions. Well, the contrary, I didn't notice this until I really got into this. The fruit of the Spirit have to do with community. The fruit of the Spirit are meant to serve one another. They're relational, not your personal desires. So we have to use our freedom that God gave us, and we have a choice between the flesh and the spirit. So that's what Paul's leading up to right now. Verse 26, and then we're going to bleed into chapter 6. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You can underline gentleness as well. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have bear his own load. So, right off the bat, before he gets into either serving your flesh or serving the spirit, to warn you about pride. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul is warning about your pride. And then he starts to hit the point. So in verse 1, restore. Verse 2, bear. And then verse 4, you got test, maybe examine, depending on your translation, whichever version you read. So the word restore, bear, and test. In the Greek, those words are, in the grammatical sense, present active imperative, which means it's an ongoing commandment. It's meant to be continually done. It doesn't stop. We're meant to continually bear one another's burdens, continually restore one another with gentleness, continually, always check your motives. Why? Because if we sow for the purpose of just reaping, you begin to think prosperity gospel. And then against it also just if you want to have it for the attention. So we are meant to continually, always restore one another, be there for one another. And as I said earlier, those examples, presence, giving someone your wisdom, giving someone your words, consistency, all that I just said requires zero talent and zero money. All it does is require your love. Yep. And I find it fascinating, by the way, that Paul, the words that I'm just picked out and looked at what Paul was saying, bear, restore, and test, maybe examine, two of them have to do with relational aspect, but then the one, he hones in back into yourself because it's important to not listen to yourself, not listen to your pride. Why? Because when we sow in one another, that can create some spiritual pride. And as he said, if you think you're better than anybody else, you've already deceived yourself. And also, verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. It's another Paul saying, don't forget to take care of yourself. Don't forget to carry what you got to carry. So Galatians 6:6 through 10. Let one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whoever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will also from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. Amen. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Do not be deceived, do not be mocked, for whoever sows that he will also reap, for the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. As Paul said, you sow to the flesh, you invest in the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, you will reap corruption. And as we all know, sowing to the flesh can be fun. It's addicting. But nothing hits harder than the weary of pleasure. Exhausting all that pleasure and the warnings that you ignored when you could have sowed to the Spirit. To mock God is as if you think he doesn't even know your motives already. That's what Paul is saying. So you always, again, you have to continually check your motives, continually check your pride, because Paul is warning this. And then in due season, verse 9, and in due season, what does that mean? When the time is right. What time? God's time. I don't want to admit this, but sometimes, man, God's timing is... It is not a good timing, in my opinion. But Paul phrased it in a way that it's going to happen. What you invest in, there will be a harvest. There will be something to reap if you persist. And he's motivating you not with uncertainty. He wants you to trust God in what you sow, what you invest, what you use your freedom with. You're in control of the sowing. maybe if you want to talk about how the Holy Spirit does that anyways, fine. I'm trying to tell you, you're ultimately not in control of the outcome. You're just meant to show up. And then if you sow when you're only guaranteed, you're subconsciously trying to manipulate God or negotiate with God. Like, I'm only going to do this if you guarantee me something, as if you think that they're... So write this down. Giving is not a conditional of the outcome. It's a part of your faith.
There you go. That's
right. It's a part of what we do in God's family. We're meant to give and invest in one another. If you only give when you get the results you wanted, we would not, that would just go against everything that Jesus wanted us to do. Amen. And then not only that, but reaping may not also happen the way you think it might happen. Abraham was promised descendants as numerous as the stars. Didn't get a dang kid till he was near 100-ish. Numerous as the stars. It's nothing that we think right now because we can't see a lot of stars now, but this dude probably saw a lot of stars in his day. Never got to see the descendants numerous as stars, but he was promised it. But we can now see that he got the promise fulfilled. David was promised the Messiah to reign in his family forever. Never got to see Jesus born. Wasn't even close. John the Baptist, my gosh, this dude, I wonder if this Jew was experiencing FOMO before he had got beheaded. He was called to pave the way for Jesus, but then was called to invest in Jesus' ministry. My gosh, the joy he would have had to see Jesus resurrect from the dead. To see the church the way it is now, or at least getting started. And I wonder if he would have been a mentor to Andrew and Peter. Possibly. So reaping is not what you think it's probably going to be, or it might be. Who knows? Like I said, you're just called to be obedient and give to God. Check this out. Verse 6, though. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Are you investing back into your sponsor? Are you investing back into your pastor? Are you giving back to the one that is feeding you, investing in you, in tangible ways? Not just a simple thank you. Giving back. I'm not saying that for me. I'm just saying the ones that pour into you weekly, daily basis, are you giving back to them? Or are you neglecting the hand that's feeding you? Have you ever thought that God invested in you? Have you ever really thought about that? That you are God's investment. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gifted you, Jesus. Write that down. God gave you the ultimate gift in Jesus. To really sit and think that God invested in you. And as Galatians 3:15 also say, that he gifted you freedom, meaning he rescued you from the slavery of sin. The slavery of sin. He gifted you Jesus that paid the ransom. He paid the ransom that was so much killing you. As Romans 5 says, what did I have? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While you were at your worst, Christ died for you. While you were enemies, Jesus died for you. while you were running from God, an enemy of God, while you were at your worst, he still chose to adopt you and invest in you. To sit and think about what he did. The last thing I got is to think about what is the best way to give. The band can come up, by the way, or at least get ready to. What's the best way to show gratitude to someone who gave you a gift? I know it's not just saying thank you, but it's more than that. It's not taking the gift and then storing it away. It's actually using it. Are you using your gift of freedom to sow into one another, to pour into one another? As hard as it may be, if you don't grow weary and you keep persisting. We give, write this down, we give because God invested in us first. So the best way to thank God is to use your gift of freedom. I don't know if you don't know what your spiritual gift, your gift is, well, you still have the gift of Jesus and you can still give back through that. And yes, just your love. You don't have to be some fancy speaker. I'm just here to tell you that you still have the ability to give, whether if it still costs $0 and zero talent. You can still impact those around you. So, are you giving? Are you taking time for those that have given to you? Or how are you using your freedom, your gift of freedom? Are you sowing into the fruits of the Spirit to serve one another? Are you always bearing one another's burdens? Are you always restoring one another? Let me pray us out. Father, convict us deeper. These are your words that you're speaking. Not only convict the ones that are hearing, but also convict me. Father, as we leave this church, help us not just help us, but be with us and pour the Holy Spirit into us. Remind us the Holy Spirit are right there with us. And trust you, that you know when season is going to happen. Even though in and out of season, we are called to love you and called to love one another. Give us the strength, courage, and help bear one another's burdens. In Jesus' name, amen.